You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome to the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague's brand new podcast. I'm Joe R. Lucas, and over the next few months, I'll be getting down and dirty with some of your favorite coaches, players, and legends of EuroLeague basketball. Each episode of The Crossover will feature an exclusive chat between me and a very special guest as I find out what life is like on and off the hard court for Europe's elite. In this next episode, I had a chance to sit down with one of the best players that Europe has to offer, a point guard that not only scores and dishes out assists, but knows how to make everybody on his team a better player. Of course, I'm talking about Nick Kalathis. Nick, welcome to The Crossover.
How are you, my man? I appreciate having me on here.
I'm great, man. And the first thing I'm looking at, well, I gotta tell you, I talked to a bunch of people around here about you a little bit, and they said your Greek's not that great.
No. I understand a little bit, but it's pretty bad. I need to get my Greek level up.
They were nice, though. They said you understand everything.
So yeah.
I figured that. So Kalathis does mean basket.
It means basket, yep. It's from my grandfather, who used to live here when he was 19 and then came to the States. That's how I got my Greek heritage.
Let's go straight to your grandfather then. I hear it's a huge, huge part of your basketball career.
Huge, he was. He every game he was at through every step of my basketball career, and then he passed away when I was 17. So I know he's looking down right now on me and watching me play for the national team and play in Greece. And I wish he was here, but he's excited. He's excited.
It's got to be a proud moment for you also to represent the country that he was from.
No question. For me, every time I step on the court and put on the Greek jersey, you know, I thank him and for him to give me the opportunity to play for this country.
He passed away when you were in college?
In high school.
In high school.
My junior year in high school, yep.
That was one of your McDonald All-American years, all Florida State.
Yep, all that. Like I said, every game, every high school game, every AAU tournament, he was there. So he was definitely my biggest fan.
Your father also played? Brother obviously played.
My brother played. My dad never played. He was a motocross racer, actually.
Really?
Raced motocross, and he actually coached me through my whole basketball days, AAU, since I was 16 years old. So, and people ask, like, how do you know basketball? How do you get into it? And he just got into it with my brothers and me, and ever since.
You had a basket in your backyard?
Yep. He cemented a basketball court, like a three-pointer with just cement and little hoop. And it was fun. Every day we'd used to go back out there and play games. Me and my brothers, used to beat me up because they're twins.
Twin brothers?
Twin brothers, yep.
Oh, okay.
And I'm the youngest by three and a half years. So.
Well, Pat's pretty big. Pat's 6'10", right?
Pat's 6'10". So, yeah, it wasn't easy on me. I think I have like 9 pairs of stitches from them on my face, so.
It's got nothing to do with the hair, right?
I hear
you always talking about the hair, man.
The hair. I lost my hair when I was about 24, so I get killed with the hair jokes.
Yeah, well, listen, you don't have to go through the white hair like I got.
Trust me, I'll take white
you
hair
take white
over
the
all day.
I don't know. You got the ball looked down, man. You got it going down.
It's tough. It's tough to keep up with it.
You're crushing in high school, man. It was Mr. Basketball in Florida for 2 years. Were there any other offers? Obviously, you went to the University of Florida, which is in Gainesville, one of my favorite schools. Any other offers? I mean, you had to have big offers.
So I committed my sophomore season in high school, which is very early, you know, as a high school player. And I've always wanted to go to Florida, you know, for my family to make the hour and a half drive down there to Gainesville. And I met Billy Donovan when I was 12 at his camp. Ever since then, I just, through high school, once they offered me, I signed. Once it was a done deal, and it was pretty easy for them because, you know, they didn't really have to do much. They brought me to the campus. They offered me a scholarship, and I shook Coach Donovan's hand. And I said, thank you. I would like to come here, you know, accept the offer.
Anybody trying to backdoor you, trying to get you to?
For sure, especially when.
you know how the NCAA is.
No question. And especially when my senior year, Coach Donovan took the Magic job. And it's when he turned it down like 4 days later and came back to.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And I heard it on the news. I didn't even hear from Coach. So I'm like, I'm so pissed. I'm like, I'm going to have to open up my, you know, my recruitment up again. I'm going to have to, you know, college coach is going to be calling every day. And thank God he changed his mind and I got to play for him.
This is some selfish questions for myself. And, you know, since my name's on the podcast, I can say whatever I want to say here. Billy D is not a close friend of mine, but a friend of mine.
Yep.
I know Billy Donovan well. Billy Donovan was Nick's coach in University of Florida, one of the best point guards I've ever watched play, even though he didn't look like a point guard, he didn't even look like a basketball player.
No, and if he, Coach Donovan used to tell me the stories of him and Rick Pitino. He played under Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
And Coach Donovan was some chunky kid that Coach Patino said, if you don't get in shape, you know, you might as well get out of here. And and he said he worked hard. And for Coach Donovan, he's a player's coach. So everyone that plays for him loves him. He knows the game. And he obviously, like you said, he played at the highest level also. So he knows how to play.
I'll tell you my story. We went to Hawaii together, and I got a minute to tell you this, but we go to Hawaii together, and I just started hanging out. Of course, I watched them on TV. I was from a small school, Niagara University. Yeah. I was watching all these guys on TV. Somehow I showed up there, and we go to Pizza Hut together, and we walk up together, and we're looking at the menu, and he says, I'll take a family-size Super Supreme, please. And I looked. I said, Billy. I said, I don't like all that junk on my pizza. And he looked at me, he's like, That's for me, man. He's like, you order your own pizza. I said, you're gonna eat the family size Super Supreme? He's like, yeah, man. I do that every day.
Killed it all.
Yeah, I love him, man. He's a guy. And what was it like playing for a point guard? Because you've also came here and played for Selko Obradovic, which was another point guard coach. It's difficult for you guys.
It was, man, it's to have those two coaches, man, it was a blessing to learn from, especially Coach Donovan. My first year in college, he was probably the toughest on me, but he also let me play. We had a young team because it was right after they won the back-to-back national championships with all those lottery picks with Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer, all them. And, you know, he gave me the freedom to play, and he was hard on me, but that's what's good for a point guard, that you want your coach to be hard on and learn from it, and he made me a lot better.
Some of the best coaches, most of them are point guards because they know their game so well, but they're hard on point guards.
Oh, definitely, because, you know, they see what you see on the court, and if you mess up or something, they can read, like, you know, you really screwed up, and that's, I think, what gets them the most pissed is they see it as well as you do. So.
Yeah, it's interesting that I've had that experience over the years, but then you go to a team that you even mentioned that won 2 years in a row.
Yep.
Did you feel like it was bad timing?
You know, it was bad timing with not being able to be at the highest level of winning right away because we lost six guys that were, you know, the best college team ever. But it also gave me time to come in and play right away, to start, to get 30 minutes a game and to learn and get better like that.
Yeah,
way.
You averaged 31 a game, freshman year.
Yeah, like I said, he gave me the freedom, and we had a young team, so we had, I think, six freshmen come in that year. Chandler Parsons came in. I played high school with him, so we came together.
He was
together.
Another Mr. Florida.
Mr. Florida, yep. So we had Maurice Spates, Alex Tyus from Maccabi.
That's right.
So we came in together at Florida. So another guy that lost his hair too. Shout out Alex Tyus.
Alex, I'll see you somewhere along the line. I'll have to talk to you about that. Then at the end, you give up your NBA. Not, you didn't give up your NBA rights,
no,
but you said, I'm going to Greece to play.
For sure. I had signed a...
But wait a minute, though. But was it a dream? Was the draft a dream? It's always a dream for us American kids.
Yeah, it was a dream, but it was to the point where I was, could have been late first, early second, and I wasn't 100% sure. And then I got this offer from Panathinaikos, a three-year deal that was basically paying me like a first-round pick that was guaranteed, you know. And I felt like it was a good situation. My brother was over here in Greece. They had just won EuroLeague, Panathinaikos. So, you know, I just decided that, hey, I think I can make it back to the NBA if I learn over here a little bit more and get experience. And so I took a different route than
Was your grandfather part of that decision in your mind? Somewhere in the back of your mind?
You know, it was. He was. My brother was a big part because he was playing over here also, so I could have someone to live with. And it was a difficult decision. Coach Donovan definitely was pissed that I did that. If I had to do over again, I would have made the same decision.
Let's let everybody know. He was pissed because you left early.
Or left early, exactly.
Yeah, you left school early.
And not to go to the NBA, to go to Europe.
Right.
So
he wasn't pissed about the fact that you were in degrees.
Exactly.
He was pissed about the fact that you left school.
Yes, probably, exactly. Yeah. So
that's interesting. So you're actually second round pick, 45th by the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, and then they traded their rights
to the Mavericks. So you were on like three teams before you actually ended up
putting on a jersey.
What was it like to come here? I mean, you really, other than the information you had from your brother.
Yeah, I didn't have any clue, to be honest. I came to Greece one time before that to play with the under-20 national team.
Right.
I hated it. I hated it. I told my dad, I'm never going to play here again. I never come back to Greece. And then I played for the older national team, and I loved it. And I came here to Panathinaikos. I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't know who Dimitridis, Yaskevicius, Spanoulis. That was my team.
That was my question. You walk into this.
I walk into these legends, but I have no idea because I'm 20 years old. I'm coming from the States.
So you didn't do your homework,
basically. I didn't do my homework, no. Coach Obradovic, I knew from my brother. I knew how, you know, I looked it up and see how many titles, you know, and stuff like that. But I had no idea. And I thought, hey, you know, they're going to want me to play right away. I'm going to come in. You know, they need
American,
me. They need
typical
me.
American mentality.
I'm the man. I didn't play ever my first year. I'm okay. I played a little bit, but not when it counted. I learned a lot, though, from going against those guys every day in practice. Spanoulis, Dimitridis, you know, those are the Saris.
But what was it? What was your mindset saying, okay, I just gave up. I gave up going to the NBA.
Yeah, I gave up going to the NBA.
And I'm coming in, I'm not getting run.
And I came here, I'm just playing practice. I'm the 13th, 12th man, you know.
That can't
be
easy.
It was definitely tough on me, for sure, to go from playing, you know, like you said, 31 minutes a game in Florida, and then coming here and not playing. But I knew it was going to be a learning point for me. It worked out in the long run, but to be honest, I was a little like, oh man, I don't know if this is going to work out or not. Yeah. I don't, you know.
You weren't seeing the trees.
I wasn't seeing the I wasn't see, I wasn't, it wasn't looking
forest,
greener.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it wasn't
exactly.
looking greener. And
you and I have another thing in common other than Billy D is Coach Obradovic. Yep. I played for him in Madrid for a few years. And now thinking what you're telling me that you gave up the draft and you came here and now you run into this coach. I mean, I love Selko to death.
Yes.
Him and I are boys. We love each other.
But
we didn't love each other when
exactly.
when I played for him. I can tell you that right now.
He's a tough coach. He's like you said, he doesn't put up with anything. If you don't do what he says, he's going to definitely tell you. And you can be the 15th guy or you can be the first guy. He's going to treat you the same about what he wants and what he sees on the court and where he wants his team to be. And that's why he's the best.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, he expects a lot out of his players. And you just have so much respect for him as a player. And he was a big part of how I became better and better as a player because, you know, I don't think I was ready early on and he knew it. And then he put me in a key position where he thought that I could succeed. And it worked out great for me. A lot of credit to give him to how my success has been in Europe.
I think one of the things that you were saying is that he's just fair.
Yes.
He's tough, he's difficult, and he's hard to play for sometimes.
Yes.
But he's fair.
He's fair.
He pretty much treats everybody the same way. Like you said, guy one through guy 15.
Exactly.
On the team.
And if you don't like it, you'll be gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As a player, you know, if you can't take his criticism and his – he doesn't mind. He'll bring in somebody else that he knows that, you know, will fit his system. And you know, like I said, that's why he's so successful as a coach.
When you've won five or six at that point,
you
can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. Exactly. You have all control as a coach, so –
the same situation pretty much happened to you here that happened in Florida. The team wins the EuroLeague
the year before. And then you come in and it's not such a great year.
But it wasn't that important to you because you weren't playing 30. Well, of course, it's important to you.
But you know.
You weren't playing 31 minutes a game.
I wasn't playing 31 minutes. But, you know, looking at the team we had, it was definitely a disappointing year for losing to, you know, I think we got knocked out by Marussi and Partizan that year. And Marussi, they were using our gym. And
for
them to beat us, you know, it was a tough season that year. But we ended up winning the Greek championship. And I think the cup we won. I'm not positive.
The Greek championship.
I know.
Second year, the big one comes.
Yep.
And you were kind of put into the role. Not a huge role, but you were put into a decent role, but it picked up as the year went on. You progressed, you got confidence, and then everybody talks about that it was you that won that Barcelona playoff. Mm-hmm. That game four was just you threw pretty much the whole playoff, and then the final four also.
Yep. Like I said, Coach really put me in to succeed at the right time. Like you said, during the season, I had a little role, but it wasn't, you know, consistent minutes through the season. And then he comes to me and says, hey, you're going to start against Navarro. And I'm thinking in my head like, man, Navarro, one of the best players of all time.
Does that mean I have to play defense?
Exactly. And, you know, in my mind too is, okay, I'm very fast, but defensively, you know, I've been trying to get so much more minutes to be able to do something different, to be able to get on the floor. And defensively was how he got me to play. And during that series, I was so had so much energy and so much, like, just put me on the floor and I can do something to help the team, you know.
Was that
and
from being well-rested?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I was waiting for that moment, and, you know, he gave me that moment, and once somebody gives you a moment, you need to obviously take it and grab it and run with it, and I did that. And I think it obviously helped my career here, because looking at my second year in the beginning, I'm like, man, I might not be here for long. I'm not playing that much. You know, I have a big contract. But
that's pressure, man.
It's a lot of pressure for sure. Yeah. But it was good pressure. And like I said, coach, that's how he reads when to put the player in at the right time. And you can be the 10th guy and he'll put you in a crucial moment and you got to be ready to play for him. You got to be ready to help the team.
Did he pull you off to the side at all during it and just say, hey, Nick, this is what I want? Other than defending Navarro.
For sure. Him and Attudis, Coach Attudis was big with him too. So they told me, hey, that's your job. Make it difficult. We were going boxing one, and I'm the guy who's chasing Navarro around. And it was a tough matchup, but I thought I did okay.
Obviously you did.
Yes.
You pretty much led the team. Everybody said Diamantidis was MVP, but you were the key. Yeah. Even your own coach right now, Xavi Pascual, said that about you. What was the feeling like? Because I had this feeling after we won the European Championship in 95 against Olympiacos, so that's why everybody still loves me over here in Panathinaikos.
You still got the record too, right?
Yeah,
that record. Ain't
I don't think
be
that's
broken.
I don't think that's gonna be broken for a while. The way everybody rotates
not,
and doesn't
right.
play for 40
right.
minutes anyway.
It was impressive.
I'll hold on to that one for a little bit.
Impressive.
But I had this feeling of emptiness when it was done. When it was like, when you know, after you went in the locker room and the celebration was done, it was like the accomplishment was over. Did you have that? I ask everybody.
I think I was just so much adrenaline. It was, you know, such a long season. We had so many ups and downs just to be able to get to that point where we won it. You know, I think everyone was surprised as well because, you know, Spanoulis left that year to go to Olympiacos. Right. So they were like, oh, okay, our team, you know, is going to be okay, but we're not going to be able to compete for a EuroLeague championship. And we were a team and we got to that title and there was no one that was going to beat us. And, you know, like yes, I think, you know, you're drained at the end of it. Like, man, it's because it takes a lot, you know, preparing for those games, exactly. Those two games. It's, you know.
But it's like you wake up the next day, like, what else? What do I do?
Exactly.
I mean, you still have to go play
you
the
still
Greek
got the Greek
championship,
but it's not the same.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot out of you, for sure. But it was one of the best feelings I've had in my basketball career to be able to win a championship like that with this team.
And then you get to play with your brother the following year.
Yep. That was playing with him is amazing.
Is something you talked about when you were a kid? Like in
always.
The bedroom? And
always.
Like when he was bowing you
in
the head?
Yeah, always. I've always wanted to play with him my whole career, especially. I actually wanted to go to the same college as him, but they never recruited me.
Oh, really?
Never recruited me.
But you were already committed.
I was committed. No, he was a senior. I was a freshman.
Ah, okay.
So I would have been a freshman. So I still could have. And when Billy Diamond left, maybe I could have.
Made that transition.
But no, it was. I've always talked to him about it. And, you know, it came true. He played well in Rodos. And coach brought him over. And it was a fun experience. We made the Final Four, and just to be on the court with him sometimes, it was, you know, I always looked for him. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah,
coach knew it too.
Yeah, yeah.
Coach would say, okay, here comes Nick, gonna pass the ball to Pat every time.
We know where that ball's going.
It was a 20-point game or something, so coach had fun with it. But my brother was definitely getting some shots up. That's for sure.
There you go. Before I get into your next adventure, you like to score. You scored in college.
Yep.
And you scored most of your life. But here you're more of, you're just, you know, last year your season was unbelievable. What's the better, I mean, obviously given that assist, that dime is the best feeling.
For sure. That to make a good pass or to, and it also that makes you happy and it makes your teammate happy also. You know, you scoring, it's you know, your teammates are going to be happy, but, you know, to get them involved, especially as a point guard, it gets them. Then they really like to, you know, then you see them sprint a little faster down the court.
Well, I got to
watch
your practice today, and I'm watching everybody cuss to the basket. They do not take their eyes off you.
No, or they're gonna get hit with the ball. Exactly.
I see everyone, especially the young guys. Yeah. The young guys are like, man, he's going to hit me right in the face.
And I'll throw it in practice just to make sure that they're ready. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. We used to do the same thing. Yep. Sabonis used to do the same thing to people where it's like, always watch the ball
always.
When he's around the court. I was watching again in practice. We were just talking about it beforehand. This little Lekavicius, Lucas, is going to kill you, man.
Man, he's going to wear me down. He's definitely going to take off a year of my career for sure, guarding him every day.
Now you pick up and do something I think no one expected. You go to Russia.
Yep.
Lokomotiv. What was that all about?
And
everything that I looked up about you and everything I saw, yep. Like, you remember that, like, back in the day, it was like, one of those things don't belong here?
For sure. That's for sure someone wrote that. That's yeah. a mistake. On, you know, like, Wikipedia, you know, somebody writes something.
Yeah.
After my Panathinaikos contract, it was a big deal of, like, everybody leaving here. It was when a coach left. A lot of the team left. Mike Batiste, all them. So I was in contact with Panathinaikos, but we didn't have an agreement. And, you know, I kept saying, you know, pushing. And I didn't know if they knew what they wanted yet for the future about the budget or something like this. So, you know, I waited. And at the end of the day, my agent comes to me and says, hey, a team from Krasnodar. And I was like, where?
And, it's a long trip.
And the Krasnodar, Russia. I'm like, I don't know if that's good for my career, but, you know, they offered a good contract. And I looked at the players that they got. They raised their budget a lot for that season. And I ended up going. I mean, I said, okay, let's do it. So I signed a 2-year deal there, and it worked out good. It got me to play a lot. We won Euro Cup championship.
MVP.
It was big. MVP, yep. MVP. And it was big for that club. Yeah. You know, put them in EuroLeague, and
Put them on the map.
Exactly.
Put them on the map in EuroLeague and just European basketball.
Yep. How they do business, how they do work there, it's well done. I liked it a lot.
Was your family with you?
No, because my girl was pregnant at that time.
Okay.
So she came for the first 2 months and then went back to the States to give birth. And so I was alone.
Was she in Greece with you before that?
She was in Greece with me before, yeah.
Before that, okay.
Yep.
Then you're in the league. Bam.
Yep.
Is it a dream come true?
It was. It was to be able to play, to get the opportunity in the NBA, for them to call me. It was a great opportunity. And I got, I had a chance to play. Mike Conley's backup, I think, was Jared Bayless, who was a 1-2. And Coach Yeager really liked me, liked how I work. And, you know, about a couple months into the season, I worked into that backup point guard position. And
you and Conley play well together.
We play very well together.
Yeah.
And obviously, Mike is one of the most underrated players in NBA, I think.
Unbelievable.
And then you got Marc Gasol, who's unbelievable also.
And Zach Randall.
Zach Randall, Z-Bov.
Yeah.
The guy can't jump over a newspaper, but he'll give you 20,
know,
20 and 15 every game.
It's crazy.
How he uses his body. It's
yeah.
To see him every day and practice how he plays, it's crazy.
And Conley goes down.
Yep.
And you take
Conley
off.
Goes down for, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks. And
you do exactly what you just told me before. Get an opportunity.
You get an opportunity, you got to take it.
Yep. Seize the opportunity. Seize the moment. You
so did that, and it was great. You know, if we made it to the playoffs, and it was fun because I got to play in Orlando in front of my family. I bought like 40 tickets. So. And I was starting. It was when Mike was still hurt, so I was starting. And
that was in February then, right?
Yep, February.
You were player of the rookie of the month.
Yep, no. Rookie of the month. And I got, you know, went to Cleveland to play LeBron. And, you know, I'm looking at LeBron. I'm like, man, I'm starting
against
LeBron. Damn near best player of all time, you know.
Damn near. What does that mean? Mike?
I think still Mike.
Yeah.
But maybe at the end, you never know. LeBron will set every record possible.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. Just by longevity alone.
Yeah, exactly. He gets better and better when he gets older. I've never seen it before.
It's crazy, isn't it? I always talk to kids about how to, like, you know, deal with ups and downs in their lifetime and try to always stay
even-keeled.
You know, like, your best game doesn't make you the best player in the world. Your worst game doesn't make you the worst player in the world. You had a huge downer, like, right after. And you get into as much as you want to here. You tested for a banned substance in Memphis.
You know, I don't want to talk about it much, but I took my friend gave me a pill for my hair loss. And
really?
It was a mixed pill that had, you know, I couldn't even tell you the stuff that was in it. Some medicine for breast cancer or some. It was tamoxifen. I've never even heard of it in my life. And NBA called me and said, hey, you got tested positive for tamoxifen. I said, what? What is tamoxifen?
What is it?
And I looked it up. It's for breast cancer. It was a pill that my friend said, hey, it could make your hair grow more. It was stupid because I took it, and it was like a pill that...
It's just innocent. You don't think...
Exactly. No, I'm not. You know, obviously, I've played basketball my whole life. I would never cheat to try to get better. Or look at my body. It's not...
Well, anyway, I was going there. I read that it was like something to mask... The drug is used to mask a steroid or testosterone or something. And I'm looking at pictures of you back then. I'm thinking
like come on, this skinny, you know, kid, you know. So
I mean, I'm not. Don't take it in the wrong way.
No, trust me. I know. It was just a bad mistake.
But how was it when you got that phone call? Well, I mean,
I thought I was gonna have a heart attack because I was like, there's no effing way that I could be testing positive for And I called my dad and I said, Dad, there's no possible way that I tested for this. And I thought about it, and during All-Star break, one of my good friends gave me, I was like, hey, he's like, do it me your hair, because he's bald too. I'm like, do it, it's gonna make your hair grow. So I didn't think about, what would be in that, or like I said, it was just a stupid thing that I would never take a pill from somebody that I don't know what it is. But it's still, I missed the postseason for that when I was good. I missed the playoffs. So it was when that I was at my peak of.
You were able to come back to play for the Greek team just in time,
yep,
right?
I was able to come back, yep. But it was at my peak of basketball. Right.
God. I mean, and that's what I talk to about kids all the time is like, you've overcome it, obviously.
Yes. But it definitely wasn't. It was probably one of my worst moments for sure. Yeah. Because, like I said, it's something that I had no idea what. It's not like I was planning on, I was taking, juice up or something. Like, I mean, it's something that I can never do.
At least I'm going to do it. Let me get big
let me look like a bodybuilder or something. But
you get back here, man. I'm going to go right to last year. Your last year was sick. I mean,
I appreciate it.
It was just so much fun to watch you. It made me feel like, I was watching someone who just loved to play the game and loved to play with his teammates because you got along so well with everybody. I mean, 15 points almost, eight assists a game. I think your high up until last year was maybe like 7 or 8 assists. Or maybe it was 11 in one game. Uh-huh. It wasn't too many games you went over 8.
Yeah.
You averaged 8 last year.
It was easy for me because the guys I had on my team, they could make shots or, the feeling I have with Gist, the connection we have, Mike James, I throw it ahead to him. He's one of the fastest guys in Europe. Casey Rivers, who doesn't miss, Lejeski also. I had a group of guys that we had a feel with one another, and, they made shots. They made me look good. And also the connection I have, with a guy like Gist or the other guys. It was just a good season.
You got to get them the ball, though, in the right positions.
I'm the point guard. I got to make sure that they're in the right positions, like you said. And the only problem was that we didn't get to that Final Four that we needed to.
Well, that's where I'm going right now, man. Because I was in this gym, and I've never seen this gym in so crazy in that game one. It was 20-0 in the first 3.5 minutes.
Exactly.
It was 27-point win. And
you're thinking that, oh, man, we're going to get to the Final Four now, and then you let your guard down.
Was it an overconfidence?
I don't know. I think game two, we definitely let our guard down. We didn't come out with the same energy.
That was my big thing. It didn't look like everybody came out with the same energy as they did in that game. Because at game one, you came out and just smashed them right in the mouth.
Exactly.
I mean, there was nothing that was going to stop
you. Doing that. But game two, it was something that we just didn't have that same energy that we needed, and we let them breathe. We let them have a chance for them to think that they can beat us in our home court. And during a best of five series, once a team gets their home court, it changes the outcome. Just like in 2011 when we beat Barcelona at their place, we were down 16 in the second quarter. We beat them, and they come to Waka. There's no way they're going to win any game in here. So you let your guard down, and experienced team like Madrid will take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. But I've always had that belief also that sometimes winning that first game or that one game so easily isn't a good thing either.
It's not. It's really not.
Because you let your guard down, and we beat them by 27.
Exactly.
If you would have won that game by 3 or 4,
Then we come in the game two, it's going to be a battle.
You might come in with the same intensity, so it was difficult. And then you go to Madrid and lose both of them.
Go to Madrid and lose both. Two tough games, and there you go. There goes the season.
For anybody who plays this game, they realize how fragile.
Man, it is. Exactly. When it comes down to it, it's a long season. And then you get to that point where you need that win and you don't get it, or you need that shot to go one way or the other. It's like people, like coaches say, every possession counts,
So now you're 50-50 Greek American, right? You got the Greek passport, you have the American passport. You've been out here for a lot of years. Where you at? Are you more European? Are you more? Still got that American?
I still got that American, but I'm more into the European style now, because when I first came here, I couldn't tell you where Spain was on the map, or I couldn't tell you Folti used to joke around with me, do you know where Serbia or what Serbia is? And I'm 20 years old. I'm telling you, I didn't go to history class. I promise you that. So.
People don't believe us when we tell them that. Yes. I told them when I came to Spain, I was like, the only reason why I knew Italy when I went to Italy first was because my mother was Italian.
Okay.
I knew the boot, you
for
know?
For sure.
And then all of a sudden, my agent calls me and says, you know, we're going to send you to Malaga, Spain. I'm like,
where's that?
He's like, it's beach and palm trees. I'm like, I'm in.
For
dude,
sure.
I'm from upstate New York.
Uh-huh.
But people don't actually realize that we don't know where these
places
are.
We don't. I'm telling you, where I was going, you know, the Kaunas, I'm just like, where in Lithuania? I'm like, all right, you know, I'm wearing basketball shorts and a t-shirt. It's, you know, it's freezing, snowing. I'm just like, I have no clue what I'm doing right now.
And now you just signed until 2021. Yep. Congratulations.
Thank
first
you.
Of all,
I appreciate that.
Is this your plan? You retire?
Yeah, I think,
give it up,
you know,
here, try
obviously
to
I'm blessed enough to have them want me for many years still. Hopefully I can retire here. Like I said, I started my career here, and I would like to end it here. It's the best place. Athens is unbelievable. Playing for a club like Panathinaikos, you know, playing for an owner like Dimitri Yannakopoulos, you know, that family, they brought me in when I was young, and I would like to respect that to be able to finish my career here and hopefully, you know, win some championships for them.
I just can't see you in any other color.
Yeah, I never thought about going anywhere else. It hasn't crossed my mind, but, you know, like I said, I'm blessed to be a part of this club and the ritual of how many championships they've won and the history that they have, and the fans are, you know, unbelievable.
Going anywhere else, there's no comparison.
No comparison, it would just feel different. It would feel, you know, different.
We're going to end with this now. What about life after basketball? Because everybody told me years and years and years and years, like, hey, when this is over, you know, there's a long way to go.
Yep.
And you don't realize it. No matter how many times someone sits down and tells you and it actually puts the numbers down.
For sure.
You don't realize that you played basketball for 20 years of your life, and you might still have another 45, 50 if we're lucky.
Yeah, it's true.
You're going to be the point guard coach?
I want to do something with basketball.
Don't take my job.
Exactly, like you. You stay with basketball because you love the game and you know it. And
you know, I got away from it, though. I got away from it for a bunch of years, and it just kept calling me back.
Yeah. Maybe after my career, I'll take a little break, you know, because it's a grind. As you know, how many years you play professional?
Too many.
Too many, exactly.
Too many, but now not enough.
The only
thing I don't miss is what I saw today is that practice.
Yes.
That's the only thing I don't miss.
The grind.
Yeah. I can take the trips. I can take the games. I can
for
do everything.
Sure.
That was one quick question I want. As a EuroLeague player, everybody complains about the schedule. Wouldn't you rather be playing than practicing?
I'm with you. I take when they put more games, I'm like, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, better to travel, better to play games. I'm the same.
I think people complain just to complain.
I think so too. And I think it's the wrong people that are complaining that don't really have a feel for, you know, because I think all the players would want more games, less practices, less, you know, just play.
Most of you guys are flying in charter flights.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, back in my day, we were like, you know, we were lucky to get the emergency exit.
No
you know,
question.
We were fighting each other for
no
the emergency
question.
Exit.
No, you're right. You saw, yeah. For me, it's let's play games.
All right, to finish up, I'm gonna give you a couple names here. And just let me first thing you think off the top of your head: Spanoulis, right.
Clutch,
no, Obradovic,
Goat.
I love it. The Goat, Diamantidis,
legend,
Mike James.
Fast.
James Gist.
Lob City. That's two words, but.
Yeah, that's good. You can go two words. That's the first thing you think of. Right. Pat Kalathis.
Blood. Blood brother, yeah.
And, of course, Pavlos Giannakopoulos. Yeah, you already mentioned it. But.
Made basketball, you know, made European all around the world for what he's done. For this club and for European basketball, is no one will ever be able to do that.
Yeah, I feel every time you talk to him, I can see it in your eyes.
Yep.
I can see it in everything that you talk about him.
Yeah.
He means so much to you to bring you over here, giving you this opportunity,
yep.
You and your family also.
Exactly. I thank Dimitri every time I see him for, you know, having me for this club. So.
And Panathinaikos Basketball Club.
Best in Europe. Best club in Europe.
There you go, my man. Hey, man, it's just been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
They told me before I got here that he doesn't like to be interviewed. I said, let me sit down with him.
I don't mind at all. If you want to talk basketball, I can talk basketball all day. So.
Well, we talked about you. Most players don't like to talk about themselves that much.
I don't,
I appreciate your openness, your honesty and everything, man.
Thank you.
You're a great guy, great player, and I wish you the best of luck this season.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.